Church, tonight is the biggest event in football, Super Bowl Sunday. In just a few hours, the New England Patriots will take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and Super Bowl's a big deal, isn't it? I found this out this week in my research. Over 700,000 footballs are made for use by the NFL every single season. That's a lot of footballs. 700,000 footballs are made for the NFL every year, and 72 of them will be used tonight in the Super Bowl. Tonight, Americans will consume an estimated 8 million pounds of guacamole. And to go with that guacamole, we're going to eat 14,500 tons of tortilla chips. And only 5% of that is going to be me. Listen to this. This one made me laugh. Public water authorities, they did a survey, okay? They've done studies on water infrastructure, and they found out that during the Super Bowl, very little water is used. When they compare it to normal water consumption, it significantly drops during the Super Bowl. But at halftime, water use goes through the roof. Record levels of water are used during... Oh, come on. Everybody holds it till halftime, apparently. And when we finally take a bathroom break at halftime, water pressure will be dropping all across the nation. Super Bowl is a big deal. As I was preparing for Football Sunday, I began to think about how life, in many ways, is like the Super Bowl. Okay, there are some important lessons that we can learn from the game being played tonight in Minneapolis. And don't worry, I got a short message today. I promise you I will be finished before kickoff, okay? That was a joke. I'm not going to talk long, but I want to briefly give you three reasons why life is like the Super Bowl. Number one, there are only two teams. Tell somebody, there are only two teams. Okay, this life we live in is in fact a contest between two opposing teams. And I know that the Super Bowl is a big deal, but today I want to tell you about an even bigger deal. But I'm talking about a game that today has already begun and is being played right now, even as we speak. The players in this game are among some of the greatest people that ever lived. And I know that Super Bowl 52 is important to some people, but the game I'm talking about this morning is a really big deal. In fact, it's the most important game of your life, whether you know it or not. It is the fiercest contest in all of history. It's a battle between the greatest teams in the universe, between the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And here's something about this game. It doesn't happen on a football field. It doesn't happen in a stadium. It takes place in the hearts and minds of men and women. Today I'm talking about the battle between good and evil. Listen, we can't help but notice that there's evil all around us. All you have to do is turn on the news, and that's living proof. Hey, we're surrounded by evil all around the world, even in our own backyard. Sometimes you don't even have to turn on the news. Sometimes all you have to do is walk outside. When my wife and I first moved to Goldsboro, one morning we walked out of our apartment, and a woman had been shot in the parking lot not far from our front door. There is evil all around us, and this is not a new thing. This battle's been going on for a long, long time. And on one side of the field, you've got the bad guys. Their quarterback is the devil. There are many different names in the Bible that describe the devil. He's called Lucifer. He's called Satan. He's called the deceiver. He's called the adversary. He's called the father of lies. But the important thing that you need to know about the devil is that he does exist. And I don't like to give him a lot of airtime on Super Bowl Sunday, but you need to know that he's real and he is the enemy of your soul. C.S. Lewis said the greatest trick the devil ever played was to convince the world that he doesn't exist. The devil tries very hard to convince us that he is not real and that he does not exist. Why? Because if we don't believe that there is a devil, we blame all the bad stuff on God. It's as simple as that. The devil tries to trick you and tries to make you think that he isn't real, so that when all of your frustration, all of your problems, all of your difficulties, all the loss and the suffering and the pain, you'll turn those things against God. Too many people have the wrong idea about God. Listen, God doesn't do bad things to teach people a lesson. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So if it steals and kills and destroys, according to Jesus, that comes from the devil. Jesus said, I have come that you would have life. And not just any life, abundant life. So on one side of the field, you got the bad guys. And on the other side, you've got the good guys. Team God. You've got God and the angels and the saints. And I'm not talking about the ones in New Orleans. When I say saints, I'm talking about Christians, real Christians who actually follow Jesus. Because here's the thing you need to know. Not everybody who goes to church is really a Christian. Heard a story about a small country church, and everybody had gathered on Sunday morning, and right before the service began to start, all of a sudden there was a flash of light, the whole place filled with smoke, and in walked Satan into this little church. Oh, people were kicking and screaming and knocking over pews and opening windows. They were just scurrying trying to get out of that place, except one man who was sitting on the third row. And Lucifer walked up to him and said, sir, why aren't you afraid of me? He said, who you? Why should I be afraid of you? I've been married to your sister for 25 years. Oh boy, not everybody who sits in church on Sunday morning is a Christian, y'all. You can go to church on Sunday, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You can stick your head in the freezer. That doesn't make you a popsicle. Think about it. You can put your hand in a Bojangles box, but that doesn't make it a biscuit. If you want to be a Christian, you have to actually follow Jesus and act like Jesus and love people the way Jesus loves them. Think about it like this. Today, there are many people wearing Tom Brady's jersey. That don't make them Tom Brady. You put them on the field, they're going to get their butt whooped. Listen, when you see somebody wearing an NFL jersey, that doesn't mean that they're actually on an NFL team. Y'all know what I mean this morning? During the Super Bowl, there will be 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest and 65,000 fans in the stands in desperate need of exercise. Just because you're wearing the colors doesn't mean that you're on the team. It's not enough to wear the team jersey. It's not enough to look like a Christian and talk like a Christian and carry around a Bible and have a Christian bumper sticker. You actually have to be one. There are two teams in this fight. How many teams?
Two.
In case y'all missed it. How many teams?
Two.
Right? Not three, not four, not five, but only two. There is God's team and the devil's team. No more and no less. And I know we live in a pluralistic society. We live in a culture where people say, well, all religions are the same and all paths lead to God. I know that we live in a culture that says that. But listen to me this morning. All teams do not lead to the Super Bowl. God has one quarterback and one quarterback only, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God unless they go through me. Jesus is the only way to God. Nothing more and nothing less than Jesus Christ. Oh, the devil has plenty of counterfeit religions out there, but the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the one and only way. Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. You see, religion is man's attempt to find God, but Christianity is the story not of how we found God, but how God came down and found us. Religion is about what you can do, but Christianity is about what Jesus already did. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. Every major world religion says you live by a moral code. You do this and you don't do that. You act right and you do what we say you need to do. And you go through these steps and you make this pilgrimage and you pray this direction. You don't eat this and you eat that. They say, well, if you do all these things, in the end, you might be saved. But in Christianity, this is the amazing thing. Is that God himself came to the earth and he himself did the work for us. Amen. He did it for us. Says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Most of us in our human limited love, we love people when they're at their best. But God loved you when you were at your very worst, when you were at your most unlovable, your most shameful moment, God loved you still, and he loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you. Yeah. Three reasons why life is like the Super Bowl. Number one, there are only two teams. And number two, only one team is going to win. Yeah. Only one team will win. I'm going to do a survey. How many of you guys are pulling for the Patriots tonight? Okay, got four of you. How many of you guys are pulling for the Eagles tonight? All right, now I hate to be the one to tell you this, but tonight some of y'all are going to be losers. Because only one team can win the Super Bowl. Somebody's going to win and somebody else is going to lose. There will be no tie. Do you understand that? How awful would that be if there was a tie in the Super Bowl? No, they won't let that happen. As many overtimes as it takes, there will be no tie. Only one team is going to win. And it's the same way with God and the devil. Only one side is going to win. And I'll give you a hint. It won't be the devil's side. It won't be the devil's side. Sure, the enemy will attack you. He'll come after you. He'll trip you up. He'll try to make you fumble the ball. Every now and then, you might get tackled. You might get bruised. But in the end, the devil cannot, will not win. Amen. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Come on, tell somebody, Jesus wins. Tell somebody else, Jesus wins. Listen, this Christian life is a life of victory. I'm not going to promise you that you're never going to have problems and difficulties. In fact, sometimes when you give your life to Jesus, things are going to get worse for a little while. Why? Because the devil's a sore loser. When the devil sees that Jesus takes possession of the ball, come on, he's going to chase after you and try to harass you and wear you out and tell you you ain't saved. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus wins. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37 says this, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There is only one team, and that's Team Jesus. I want to ask the musicians to come this morning as I prepare to share you point number three. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. I got to go buy guacamole after this. I got to go borrow my pickup truck, load it up with chips and guacamole. All right. Three things you need to know this morning about life. Number one, there's only two teams. Number two, only one team is going to win. And number three, this is very important. Number three. The game will soon be over. Many of you, you'll leave here today, you'll go home or to a restaurant or to a friend's house, and you'll watch the game, and you'll shout, you'll cheer, you'll jump up and down, you'll scream at the television, you'll pray for the referee to regain his sight. But it's only a matter of time before the game is over. Church, I believe that we're living in the last days. I really do believe that. When I read the Bible, I see very clearly that God has issued the 2-minute warning and time is almost up. Every major prophecy of the Bible has been fulfilled, and Jesus is coming back soon. And here's something else. You never know when your last day is going to come. You never know when you're going to find yourself in the end zone. Listen, we never know when we're going to pass from this life into eternity. And I hope for you that that's a long, long time from now. I hope that it is, but you don't know. It may be today. Because we have no promise of tomorrow. And I need to ask you the all-important question this morning. Whose team are you on? Do you belong to God? Do you know that you're on His team? Do you know that you're saved? Listen, church, there are only two teams. And I tell you the truth, you're either on one team or the other. There is no neutral ground. I don't say that. Jesus said that. He said in Matthew 12:20, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not following Jesus, you actually belong to the other team. Now, I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. You were created for God's team. You are made for God's team. That is your destiny. That is your calling. That is your purpose. God didn't create you to serve the devil and to live in this world. He made you for His team. But think with me for just a moment. What would happen if you're playing football and one of your team members picked up the ball? And they got disoriented, they got turned around, and they took the football and they started running for the wrong end zone. What would you do? If you were a good team member, you would tackle them and you would take them down. Why? For their own good. Do you know that's what Jesus did? Jesus came to the earth. And He said, wait a minute, humanity. Wait a minute, mankind. I made you for my glory. I made you for good. I made you to do right. But He looked down on the world and we were all running for the wrong end zone. So Jesus stepped in. He tackled us and said, no, you're going the wrong way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Don't run to the wrong end zone. Follow me. People say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? Church, God never made hell for people. The Bible says, Jesus said, God made hell for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't made for people, but the only way to heaven, the only way of salvation is to stop running the wrong end zone and put your faith in Jesus. Follow Him. Jesus said, I'm the right way. Follow me and you won't be put to shame. Trust in me. And I'll show you the right way. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Listen, if you're not sure that you're on the right team, you could be sure today. Listen, joining God's team is easy. Believe me, it's much easier to join God's team than it is to play for the devil's team. Romans says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have the opportunity this morning. You have the opportunity today to be a champion. So many people have the wrong idea about Christianity. They think, well, if I just start living right, then I'll come to church. And some of y'all might have even said that yourself. If you hadn't said it, somebody said it to you. Well, I'll come to church, you know, once I get my life together. That's not how it works. Listen, you come to church just the way you are right now, where you are. I don't care if you smell like alcohol, you smell like weed. I don't care if you smell like the club. You come to Him just the way you are. Because here's the thing. Christianity, salvation, eternal life is the greatest prize of all, but it's not a prize that you play for. Jesus already won the game. All you have to do is receive it. Here's the thing about God. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay the way you are. You come to Jesus with all your mess, all your filth, all your garbage, all your addictions, all your issues, all your problems, all your indictments. You come to Jesus just the way you are. You trust him with your life, and Jesus will change you. Jesus will fix you. Jesus will transform you. All you got to do is come to him. He'll change your life. Stop trying to get your own life right. Come to him and let him do it. Trust in Jesus and you can be a champion too. It's so simple. I love salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. All you have to do is have faith in Jesus and follow him. And believe me, there is no better life than following Jesus. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems. It doesn't mean that you won't have pain. But what it does mean is that you don't have to face them by yourself anymore. Put your life in God's hands. And I promise you, you'll never be the same. Listen, the value of something is often determined by whose hands it's in. If this were a real football, in my hands it'd be worth about $20. And if you saw me play football, you might even say $5 or $6. In my hands, a football's worth about $20. But in Tom Brady's hands, it's worth $20 million. Wow. Same football, different hands. When you put your life in the hands of Jesus, oh, your life gains so much value. Listen, you trying to rule your own life is like Pastor Josh trying to play football. It's pitiful. It ain't going to work. But you put your life in God's hands, and all of a sudden you'll find out that your life has infinite value. You'll find out that God can do more in you and through you than you ever dreamed that you could do on your own if you trust in Jesus. And here's the wonderful thing about God is he'll accept anybody. Anybody who comes to him. That's what I love about the church. That's what I love about the body of Christ. It's like Super Bowl Sunday. When you look in the stands, boy, people of all walks of life, all races and nationalities and languages and social classes, everybody is cheering together. And every church ought to be that way. Jesus said when we get to heaven, Revelation, that there's going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation worshiping together around the throne of God. Jesus will take anybody who's willing to come to him. In fact, he said he would never turn anybody away. You don't have to be worthy. In fact, you have to be unworthy. Think about that. Sinners are the only people Jesus saves. So if you're walking around like you came out of the womb speaking in tongues, if you act like you were Jesus' Sunday school teacher, that you're all such and much, walking around all bougie like you ain't never had a problem, you never even took the cashews out of the mixed nuts, that's how clean you are. No, no. Unworthy people, those are the only people Jesus saves. You don't earn salvation, you receive it as a gift of God. It's the free gift. Jesus offers it freely. And the truth is, none of us are worthy on our own. Why? Because sin affects all of us. The Bible says that all have sinned. And I want to demonstrate that. I want to prove that to you this morning. Survey, I'm going to ask y'all to be honest with me. How many of you here have ever driven over the speed limit? By the looks on your faces, some of y'all did that this morning on the way to the house of the Lord. Jesus, touch them. Come on, you broke the speed limit. Just raise your hand high. One more time, y'all look around. Okay, thank you. You can put it down. Now, this is Goldsboro. Some of y'all guilty of driving too slow, and I'll deal with y'all after church today. How many of you And maybe this was when you were a kid, but how many of you have ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Ooh, ushers, when y'all take up the offering, I want y'all to watch them. Keep your eyes on them. Y'all saw them? Last question. How many of you have ever told a lie? Some of y'all with your hands down, you lying right now. All right, if you answered yes to any of these questions, come on, put your hand up high. Keep it up. Y'all look around. We are in a room full of messed up people. We are in a room full of people who have sinned. And that's what the Bible's talking about. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Aren't you so glad that salvation doesn't depend upon us living a holy, perfect life? Jesus doesn't save us because we live right. He saved us because we're lost without Him. The living right comes after you trust Him with your whole heart and whole life. But Jesus will save you today, right now, right where you are. Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God saves us not because of anything we've done. He saves us not because we're great. He saves us because He is great. Salvation is the free gift of God to all who will receive it. Will you close your eyes for just a moment as we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Musicians, you can play as we pray this morning. Listen, Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. Why? To pay the penalty for our sins. He paid the price for us. And if you're here today and you don't know with all your heart that you're on Team Jesus, you can know today. Trust Jesus with your whole life. Put your life in His hands and He will change you, transform you. He'll set you free. He'll break the power of sin off of your life. He'll give you a new identity. He'll give you a hope and a future. You can have the kind of peace that you never dreamed of in the world. The peace of God that passes all understanding. With every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody here that you want to be Team Jesus? You want to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life? Will you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for those who raised their hand this morning. Lord, I thank you that you love them. Oh, God, you love them so much. You love them so unconditionally. God, I thank you, Lord, that you loved them so much. Lord, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins so that they could be set free. And that through His death, they could have life. And Lord, I thank you that they're here today, not by accident, not by mistake. But Lord, you led them here this morning because this is their day of salvation. This is their new beginning. On Super Bowl Sunday 2018, this is the day where their lives will be changed forever. Because they put their lives in your hands. And Lord, I thank you that they're never going to be the same. In Jesus' name. I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud. I want to ask that we all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I put my life in your hands. Lead me, Jesus. Guide me, Jesus. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You prayed that prayer with all your heart. You've made the greatest decision of your lifetime.